Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Why would you abandon a God who can do everything? All of creation is under his control. There are thousands, millions of scarecrows, but only one true God. I ask you, brothers and sisters, why is your focus off that God? And why are you spending so much time on these scarecrow idols?
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Many people might think that when we choose to follow Christ, our lives will become easier. But the truth is that following Jesus Christ is difficult. Today we're discussing the danger of what Jeremiah calls making scarecrows idols in our lives. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Following Jesus Christ is not always easy, but I found our study of Jeremiah to be very encouraging as we're called to endure in running the Christian race. It's so easy to give up. It is so easy to conform to the surrounding culture and live as unbelievers live. But following Christ means that there is a radical change in our life. In Jeremiah, there are important warnings against idolatry, as we'll see today. Jeremiah loves to paint beautiful and thought-provoking pictures. And today, we will see that he likens the idols of Israel to scarecrows. Can you imagine turning from the living and the true God, the fountain of living waters, and worshiping a scarecrow? What a fruitless, worthless exercise. But that is often what we do. So let's learn about making scarecrows idols.
Let me ask you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. Let's read, first of all, the first four verses. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all who are treacherous thrive? You plant them, and they take root. They grow and produce fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their heart. But you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn and the grass of every field wither? For the evil of those who dwell in it, the beasts and the birds are swept away, because they said, he will not see our latter end. Jeremiah, in these verses, is asking a very common question, a very emotional question, one that I would suggest all of us have asked. Why? Why, Lord, do you allow the wicked to prosper? I'm a man of God, I'm a prophet, and I see the wicked thriving. I see their crops are doing very well. Why do you allow this to happen? How long? Verse 4, how long will the land mourn? How long has this to last? How long have I to put up with this? Notice the Lord's answer. It's a tough answer. Verse 5. If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? Some translations say the pride of the Jordan, thinking that Jeremiah is referring to the time when the Jordan swells its bank, but probably the word is better translated, thicket, as we have in our translation. Later, Jeremiah uses the word again, and it's translated a jungle. And the jungle of the Jordan. In other words, Jeremiah, here's the point. If you think it's tough going now, you haven't seen anything yet. That's not what he wants to hear, is it? He's given a very tough assignment, but it's going to become even more difficult. If you have difficulty running with the men on foot, how on earth do you think you're going to compete with the horses? If you have difficulty surviving in the safe land, how are you going to get on running in the jungle of the Jordan, a place where there's wild animals and a lot of treachery? Not what we want to hear during the tough times of our life, is it? Here's the point. How are you going to be faithful to God in the future if you find it tough living for God today? See, God has plans for Jeremiah, and God has plans for you and me. Instinctively, we think that if we follow the plans of God, if we do the will of God, life is going to be easy. That's not always the case. It wasn't the case for Jeremiah. Do you find yourself today falling apart because of disappointments and some setbacks in your life? How do you think you're going to handle the future? How are you going to run with the horses when you can't even keep up with men on foot? You say, I don't know. Well, Jeremiah is going to tell us. And I can summarize it this way. What's he saying? Stop looking at scarecrows. I say, what on earth is that? Stop looking at scarecrows and start looking at your great God. First of all, don't worship false gods. Go back to chapter 10. Jeremiah 10. And we'll read from verses 1 through 10. Now we realize this is unfamiliar language, but if we concentrate, we can understand this. Don't think because it's Old Testament, book of Jeremiah, you can't understand it. Yes, you can. Pay attention to the reading of the word. Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Notice, hear it, listen up. I'm saying that to you, hear it, listen. Don't just listen to my voice. Think of the message. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed at them, for the customs of the peoples are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it cannot move. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak, and they have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it in them to do good. Verse 6, there's none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your due. For among all the wise ones of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is but wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. They are the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. Their clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Verse 14, every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there's no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. What a contrast. What's he saying? First of all, don't follow the contemporary society. Verse 2, here's the Lord, learn not the way of the nations. Why are you following the way of the pagan nations? We're often like Israel, aren't we? Instead of learning from and following the Lord, we learn from and follow our surrounding culture. Almost in every aspect of our life, Paul in the New Testament tells us, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be different. Don't follow the world. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold. You're different. Be different. And Jeremiah has already told us that the trends and the customs of the surrounding nations, they are vanity, vapor, worthless. They're pointless. They're meaningless. Chapter 2, verse 5, we saw before, he said, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me? There's something wrong in me, the great God, that you would leave me And what do? You go after worthlessness and become worthless. In Israel, of all people, they worship false gods. Notice the graphic way in which Jeremiah, to get their attention, describes their idols. Verse 5, their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. NIV says a melon field, cucumber. I read that, I thought, scarecrows in the Bible, I was brought up with the old King James. And the old King James talks about palm trees, but the word Hebrew word for palm and scarecrow have the same consonants, but in the context, the translation scarecrow, I think, is right. And Jeremiah is saying, listen, that scarecrow of an idol, it can do absolutely nothing for you. That's your idols. Look at the scarecrows in the cucumber field next door to Farmer Bob. See a scarecrow? That's just like your idols. And this is what Israel has done. Israel turned from God, the fountain of living waters. That's tragic itself, but it gets worse, isn't it? They go to the forest, they cut down a tree, they hammer a few pieces of tree together, make this ridiculous scarecrow, they decorate it with gold and silver, they put on fancy clothes on it, as we read, but it's still made of wood. And this is what you want to worship instead of the great God? This is now your God? Notice what he says at the end of verse 4. It can't move. Scarecrow doesn't go around the field, does it? It's on the one point, it can't move. Verse 5, they cannot speak. You can't have a conversation with an idol, with a scarecrow, can you? And they can't walk. You've got a God who is omnipresent. And you leave that God, and you turn, and you worship that idol. This verse 8 is utter stupidity. It's both stupid and foolish. You say, well, that's ancient Israel. We're much more sophisticated. We don't do that, don't we? Any idols? Any scarecrows in your life? Idol of comfort? Idol of success? That's the American dream, isn't it? Almost becomes an idol. Little kids pursue the American dream. Well, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. But no, we tell our kids, pursue the American dream. That's the way of success. Education. Listen, I believe in education. Education can very much become a god, can't it? Entertainment. Oh, do we worship entertainment? Money? Is that an idol? You worship money? Sport? It's one of the biggest idols we've got in this country. Not in this country only, but throughout the world, isn't it? Your own pleasure? Your own enjoyment? You ask the person in the street what they live for, it's their happiness. You ask the average man, what do you want for my daughter? I just want her to be happy. A scarecrow. We make scarecrows idols, and so we become worthless. These idols, like a scarecrow, are totally helpless to help you in your time of need. You may be a billionaire, that will not help you on your deathbed. Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You may have developed a very large company and been very, very successful. That doesn't help you one little bit when you're told you've got a terminal illness or a loved one dies. What's Jeremiah saying? What's God saying through Jeremiah? Don't make scarecrows idols. Can I remind you of the first commandment? First commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's number one of the Ten Commandments. God is a jealous God. God must have no rivals. He is God. The pagans have thousands of idols. You, Israel, are to have one. And that God you are to love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that was repeated by Jesus in the Gospels, isn't it? No idols. John, at the end of his little letter, 1 John 5, verse 21, writes, little children, keep yourself from idols. Idols. Martin Luther said, whatever you set your heart on and rely on, that is really your God. So let me give you a little pop quiz. There's five parts to it. Now relax. You're going to grade yourself. So you can lie, but God knows, right? You're not going to tell me, but here it is. I'm trying to work with you to see what idols, what scarecrows there might be in your life. Here's the first question. What do you love in life? It's the love test. Augustine said, moral character is assessed not by what a man knows, but what he loves. What's number one love in your life? Jesus says you're to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is that true? Your love test. Number two, your thought test. In your free moments, what do you think about? Someone said, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What do you think about? Do you think about when you're driving? Do you think about when you're going to sleep? In your free time, what's in your mind? The thought test. Here's the third one, the money test. How do you spend your money? You know, if we saw your checkbook, if we saw your credit card lists, if we knew how you dealt with your finances, that would tell us, wouldn't it? The money test. Paul says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Is that number one in your life? I mean, be honest before God. God knows. Here's the fourth one, the time test. What do you choose to do in your spare time? You say, I live a very busy life. Yes, I do. I know you're a very important person, but what do you do in your spare time? What were you doing last night? What were you doing yesterday morning? What about Friday night? What do you do in your spare time? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just asking the question. Number five, the security test. What gives you security in life? What or whom are you trusting for the future? That's a good one, isn't it? How do you think you're doing? Any scarecrows in your life? To love or to trust in anything more than God is to make it an idol. If you're trusting in your riches, you're making your resources your God. If you're an anxious person, you're allowing your circumstances to control you, and you've made your circumstances your God. If you love your children more than God, you've made your children, your family, a God. A very common idol in Christian churches, isn't it? Our families. Becomes number one. What our family wants, they get. An abdication of spiritual leadership in the family, and often we just make our family a God. God will have no rivals. God's a jealous God. He's to be number one. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Very simply stated, a short command, but really everything in the Ten Commandments follows from that. If you get that one right, you won't struggle so much with the other ones. Let me ask you the question another way. Could it be that video game, that time on social media, that late night movie, that has become really your God? You don't like to confess that, it sounds ridiculous, but could it be true? How about this one? My children are involved in a traveling sports team. You know, little Johnny, little Susie, they're really good player at soccer or baseball or whatever it is, volleyball, everything else. And in order to do it, they've got to play in the Lord's Day. Okay. That's your choice as a family. But what does that communicate to your children? That week after week after week, I've known families not to come to worship because they're traveling throughout the country And it seems that what the coach says is more important than what God says. And instead, men, of leading your family, you're allowing often an ungodly coach to set the priorities of your children. And that, when it comes down to it, is more important than coming and worshiping on the Lord's Day. You say, John, you're being a bit legalistic. Well, you can. I'm asking the question. Do you really think that that honors God? What about your business? Sunday morning, you're doing business. You say, well, I'm catching up. I've got a lot to do. Or a student says, well, I have my studies. I have to study on Sunday morning. You can't take a break from your study for 2 hours. You're not much of a student then, if you need that time. If you can't get through your course without studying on a Sunday morning, you're not a very good student. You have not organized your time very, very well. Let me tell you, as someone who has done exams and who has done higher education. A sporting event. I've told the story of Gunnar and I. We were on vacation. We met this couple from England. And to his great joy, my lesser joy, we found out we both like Manchester United. Now, I like Manchester United, but they're not my idol. And it became very obvious to this young man that his life revolved around Manchester United, so that every time we met, he talked and talked and talked about Man United. And he told me that he went to every home game. Nothing would stop him from going to home game. And his wife said, he's very difficult to live with when they get beat, because Manchester United do get beat from time to time, as all teams do. That was his life, it was an idol. You say, well, Man United don't play here on Sunday mornings. And would I still come to church if they're playing on a Sunday morning? Yeah, I would be here. We have people who can't come to the Lord's, to worship the Lord, when the Panthers are at home with a kickoff at 1 o'clock. And I speak to some people and they say, well, you know, we got to go early. We tailgate. You think, really? Do you think Jeremiah, if he was speaking to us, might say, that is a scarecrow idol? Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. God is opposed to all scarecrows.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Making Scarecrows Idols. Today, we'd also like to offer you a free copy of the special new booklet John wrote as a companion to our study in Jeremiah. It's titled, When a Nation Forgets God. And it's a thought-provoking discussion of the key themes and lessons we're learning in Jeremiah. The similarities between the ancient nation of Israel and our modern society are striking. So let us send you a free copy of John's new booklet titled, When a Nation Forgets God. Request your free copy today by mail or download when you go to theverdict.org. This radio ministry is committed to sharing and teaching biblical truth with listeners all across the world. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. So partner with us today by making your donation online at theverdict.org or call us at 833-551-2231. You can also send a check through the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And be sure to subscribe to The Verdict podcast. That way, you'll get access to John's special weekly feature called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics, all from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's John.
Well, what's your verdict? Any scarecrows in your life? Any false gods? Are you substituting anything or anyone for God? It's easy to erect scarecrows of comfort, success, sport, and pleasure. But the first commandment stands, you shall have no other gods before me. God is opposed to all idols. So today, reflect on any scarecrows in your life. Follow the living and the true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth to seek and to save the lost.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.